morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 17. Hymn number 17. Hymn number 228.
Trust me.
Bibles with you this morning, turn with me if you would to the book of Luke. I'd like to read a portion of Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin in verse 18. Read down through the end of the chapter. Luke 18, 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold, more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, and he cried, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Our most high and heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, almighty and all-powerful God, we come before you once more through your blessed Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as feebly we come into thy presence, but boldly we come through your blessed Son. Lord, we pray that you would reveal your word to us. Let us to hear, Lord, hear it with our hearts. Give us understanding. Give us faith to see. Lord, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for Brother Cody, who will stand before us and proclaim thy word. Lord, we ask that you would give him the grace and the ability to stand and do so boldly and freely. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've given us, most especially for salvation found in Christ. Lord, we ask that you may reveal yourself to the blind here today. Lord, if it would be thy will, have mercy on those who know you not. Lord, we ask for mercy and grace for those who are weak and weary, those who are unable to be here. Lord, if they would be able to, they would be. You know their needs and their struggles. Father, we ask that you would have mercy. We ask that thy will be done for Christ's sake. Amen. Hymn number 497. 497. to have Brother Cody Henson with us once again. Seems you're here just every few weeks, but I'm kind of glad for it. It's good to get to see a dear brother, a dear friend. Certainly a blessing to hear you preach the gospel. You come on and bring whatever the Lord's put on your heart.
Morning. Go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Your brethren in Kingsport send their love and greetings, and I think I told you this last time, but maybe not, but he told me this time. Kevin Thacker wanted me to say hello. I talk to him pretty often. He's preaching with Donnie at the conference down in Arkansas today. And pray for them. Here in Luke chapter 19, look with me at verse 1. Luke 19, verse 1 says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." I want to consider the story of Zacchaeus this morning. I absolutely love reading passages in the Scripture where our Lord dealt with a particular individual. That's what He still does today. And I can't help but notice right here, verse 1 said that the Lord Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He passed through it. He passed through it. Now, whether or not he saved anyone as he passed through, I do not know. But I know this, he's about to save Zacchaeus. He's about to save Zacchaeus. He passed through Jericho because he was headed to Zacchaeus. In the previous chapter, we just read, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" We just read it about that rich young ruler. How hardly. Did you notice it said Zacchaeus was rich? Did you notice that? Tells us he was a publican. Publicans were wealthy because they were thieves. They were covetous. They stole, extorted. He was a publican. In chapter 18, we didn't read it, but we see a publican in chapter 18. He was a publican God had done something for. You remember two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican? The Pharisee boasted of himself and his works. The publican stood afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You remember that? Zacchaeus was a publican, though we do not read of him beating on his chest, crying for mercy. We just saw the end of chapter 18, our Lord came to a blind man, a blind beggar. Not only did He give him sight, He saved his soul. He followed the Lord in the way, and He glorified Him and praised His name. Zacchaeus was not physically blind, but he's spiritually blind. He doesn't know it yet. He's about to find out. And he was not physically a beggar, but he's about to be a spiritual beggar just like that other publican. Fleshly speaking, Zacchaeus was self-sufficient. And until Christ comes to us and reveals Himself in His saving grace to us, we're self-sufficient spiritually, or so we think. We're good on our own, all right? But we do read here, Zacchaeus has a curiosity. If you look at verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not, for the press, because he was little of stature, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. No doubt Zacchaeus had heard of our Lord's fame. Our Lord went about doing good every day, everywhere he went. And we read time and time again that his fame went abroad. Perhaps he heard of the Lord's mercy to that blind beggar. I don't know. We're not told. Maybe Zacchaeus just wanted to see what the Lord looked like. I've read a lot about this passage. I've listened to a lot of messages. I'm convinced he didn't have a spiritual need. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. That's what he was seeking to do. I thought of Herod over in chapter 23 of Luke. Herod, he said he was exceeding glad to see the Lord, though the Lord was being delivered to be crucified. Well, Herod was glad. Said he hoped to see some miracle done by him. And he started pressing our Lord, asking him many questions. Many questions. And if you read the accounts of when our Lord would go here and there, and that's usually all anybody wanted from him. Well, let's make him king. And well, he fed our bellies, and let's ask him a bunch of questions. Let's try to trap him in his words. That's all most people wanted, was to see something that would wow their flesh. I pray God would give us a far greater interest than just that. Now, again, don't believe Zacchaeus had a spiritual need, but he had a physical need. Do you see his problem? We all know it, don't we? I told the folks in Kingsport last week when I first prepared this that my daughter came home from her Sunday school class. She's three. And she told me she learned about Zacchaeus, and she started singing the song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man." A wee little man was he. He was short. My daughter, she knows Zacchaeus was short. I pray in time God will reveal to her what that means, that he was short. I'm going to tell us. It's a great spiritual picture. Zacchaeus was too short to see over all these people, so he ran, climbed up into a tree, wanted to get a glimpse of this man, Jesus. Do we understand that by nature and by anything we do, we cannot see the Lord? Do we understand that? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can we know them, because they're spiritually discerned. We're carnal, fleshly, we're sold under sin. We can't see, we can't know God or the things of God. We've come short of the glory of God. We're small in sight, in His sight. We're small in the sight of the mighty everlasting God. So what did Zacchaeus do? He climbed a tree. Climbed a tree. He tried to fix his problem. It's what we all do. We try to fix our problem. Yeah, I heard man fell, but let's sew some fig leaves together. I heard that this sycamore tree was type of fig tree. Let's just sew some fig leaves together. That'll make us acceptable in God's sight. No, that's not sufficient. There's nothing we can do to remedy our problem. We have a sin problem. Well, I quit sinning. Well, God says we're lying. We're not quit sinning. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Working hard to get to heaven. That's where we come from. Everybody. Working hard. We live in what's called the Bible Belt. Everybody's so religious. Everybody's working hard to please God. We cannot please God. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." May we hear Him. Zacchaeus is about to hear Him. He's about to hear. He's about to see Him. And he's about to hear Him. Zacchaeus climbed up, and God's about to bring him down. We need to come down. Again, that rich young ruler, he was a lofty fellow, wasn't he? "Oh, I've kept all those commandments from my youth up." You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being? All your strength? Anybody? We've come short. We've come short. And we need God to bring us down. We can't bring ourselves to God. That's why Christ came, to bring His people to Himself. Look at verse 5 right here. And when Jesus came to the place, you see, most people take this account of Zacchaeus and, well, look how he sought the Lord. No, the Lord sought him. When he was come to the place, Zacchaeus did what he thought he could do. The Lord came to the place, the appointed place of the hour, to save this man, to reveal himself to this fallen son of Adam. He came to Zacchaeus. The Lord sought Zacchaeus amidst a multitude of people thronging him. Our Lord went to Zacchaeus' tree. I pray God will cause us to see His purpose in this. What a wonderful word, purpose. Well, it just so happened. Nothing ever has. Nothing ever has. Oh, do we see the purpose and goodness of God here? Now, He didn't come to Zacchaeus' tree because of any good in Zacchaeus. We'd be foolish to think that. We just read Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. He was the head of that sinful bunch of publicans. He was an evil man. Despicable. Absolutely despicable. You ever known someone? You just thought, oh, I can't stand them. That was Zacchaeus. And that's me. Why him? Why Zacchaeus? There's a lot of people here. Why him? Based on the Word of God, Romans 9, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works. He didn't save him because he climbed into the tree. He didn't save him because he ran up to see it. No, he saved him according to his will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. He was running. It's of God that showeth mercy for His glory. For the glory of God, the glory of the Son of Man. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, He looked up. You know, Zacchaeus didn't know what he looked like. Maybe he stood there for a while. And Zacchaeus thought he was just another man. Maybe. But when the Lord looked up, look what it says. When he looked up and saw him, the Lord saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The Lord God, God Almighty, came to this man who climbed into a tree like a little boy, and He called him by name. Can you imagine? Sometimes I try to put myself in the shoes of the person our Lord is dealing with. I try, but I can't imagine. I'd love to know what he thought. How did he know my name? Well, is this Jesus? I don't know what he thought at first. I don't know. No idea. But I love what he said here. Zacchaeus, make haste. This is urgent. And come down. I guarantee you this was not what Zacchaeus had in mind that day. When God came to you, was it part of your plan? God saved you by His grace. Was that your intention? Or did it completely catch you off guard? Was it something you did or was it something He did? Wasn't part of Zacchaeus' plan. He had no intentions of meeting the Lord, being called by name. He certainly didn't know His name was written in heaven, written in the Lamb's Book of Life from long before He was ever born. But in God's goodness and grace, He came to where He was. And this self-exalted man is about to come down. Verse 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Why? For today I must abide at thy house. Don't you love that? I must abide at thy house. Not only is Zacchaeus about to climb out of that tree, the Lord's coming to his house. The Lord's coming to his house Today I must abide at thy house. It's critical. It's absolutely critical. Do we understand what it means for Christ to come to our house? He physically went to Zacchaeus' house. But there's a lot more to it than that. I must abide at thy house. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to abide in our house. We need Him to come to us. Come to our tree and abide in our house. We need Him to. If He does not come to us and abide with us and abide in us, we have no hope. Colossians 1:27 says that Christ in you, this is a mystery that God must reveal. And it's this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do I have in me? Sin, sin, and more sin. What's the wages of sin? Romans 6:23, death. The soul of the sin, if it shall die. You've heard that, haven't you? It's in the Scripture multiple times. We need Christ in us. We need Christ to abide in us. We need Him to live in us, to dwell with us. That's what we need. And I love this too. When our Lord said, "Today I must abide at thy house," was there any way that that was not going to happen? No. If you ever had someone invite themselves over to your house, I'm sure I've done it many times. If I've done it to you, please forgive me. The Hardmans aren't here. I'm sure I've done it to them. We don't like when that happens, do we? Oh, my house is dirty. I don't have any food ready. You think Zacchaeus' house was dirty? Is our house dirty before God? And He says, "I'm coming in." He doesn't say, "Well, you go home. I'll give you a couple hours, get it cleaned up and cook up a fine meal, and then I'll meet you there." No. No, He said, "It's time. I'm coming." This doesn't hinge on us, brethren. God's not waiting on us to clean ourselves up. That's what the Pharisees, that's all they tried to do was clean up the outside, not knowing the inside was full of corruption. Dead men's bones. Death. Rot. Zacchaeus did not invite the Lord to his house. The Lord invited Himself over. He said, "I'm coming over." God does not ask us for permission. "Well, would you like to be saved?" He saves us. Who hath saved us and called us, He saves us, then He calls us. The gospel is not, it's not an invitation, it's a declaration of what God has done. "It is finished. Come, for all things are now ready." Verse 5, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste. He didn't think about it. He made haste. He made haste and came down. Is it any wonder He made haste and came down? When our Lord speaks to us, He causes us to know it's urgent. There's no time to mess around here and, "Well, let's think about this." No. Paul said, "I conferred not with flesh and blood." This was no mere man talking to Zacchaeus. When our Lord asked His disciples, "Who do men say I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, Peter. It wasn't flesh and blood. It wasn't just flesh and blood talking to Zacchaeus. It's God. That's why He came down. You know, a man might convince another man to walk down an aisle. A man might convince another man to reform his life. But a man cannot convince another man to believe God. Can't do it. Faith is the gift of God. It's His work, the faith of the operation of God. God works it in us. And He's going to get all the glory for it. Oh, was Zacchaeus, you sure have a nice house. No. He was a rich man. His house might have been nice. But I'm telling you, it's this house that we're talking about. The house of His heart. The house of His soul. Christ said, I'm coming in. Zacchaeus made haste and came down. There was no decision for him to make. The decision belonged to God. Well, I decided to get saved. Well, you're not saved. Not if it was your decision. If it was God's, yeah. Yeah. No decision for us to make. The decision has been made from eternity. I mentioned the name's written in heaven. The name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's done. It's done. It's all done. What decision did Zacchaeus make? He climbed into a tree. We go to work, don't we? But God. I must abide at thy house. According to His mercy, He saved us. But God, who is rich in mercy. Though our Lord physically went to Zacchaeus' house, it doesn't mean He's going to go live with him from now. No. No. But this was no temporary abiding. The Lord physically going to His house was a spiritual picture, or it was a picture of what the Lord spiritually did for him. Spiritually, He was going to live with him. He caused Zacchaeus to live in Him. I think Donnie just preached on this last Sunday night. Galatians 2:20, Christ liveth in me. The life we're living in the flesh is by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. He lives in us, and we live in Him. Live, move, and have our being in Him. He's our life. We're one. You know, our Lord prayed that in John 17, that they may be one in us. You notice how Zacchaeus received the Lord, the end of verse 6? Joyfully. He made haste, he came down, and he received the Lord joyfully. I heard this recently. God saves us against our will with our full consent. Wow. That don't make any sense. Oh, but it does. Has that been so with you? God saved us against our will. It's His will. Our will is contrary to His will. And yet we all receive Him joyfully, don't we? Against our will, with our full consent. Aren't you? We weren't looking for Him. I'm found of them that sought me not, that asked not for me. And yet the moment He comes to us, we're so glad He did. So glad He did. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that He was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. I told you I love the accounts when our Lord saved a certain person. I think what the blind man said, a certain blind man, a certain blind beggar. And yet, when our Lord would save somebody, we always seem to read that there were people standing by who could not rejoice. It's a sad, sad testimony from their own lips of these people. And it was a lot of people. They had a problem with the Lord for being gracious to Zacchaeus. Well, I just can't understand why you'd go be a guest with such a man. Kind of like that Pharisee in the temple praying, well, I thank God I'm not like this man. That's what they're saying. Do we find fault with God for being gracious and merciful to whom He will? If so, got two questions. First, who are we to question God? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Are we going to say to our Creator, what are you doing? Nebuchadnezzar learned better than to think such a thing. He doeth as he will, with whomsoever he will. Second question is this. Who are we to look down on somebody else? Who are we to say, well, how could God save this person? It's like, I forget exactly how the story goes, but someone said, "You hear God saved so-and-so? I'll never despair of anybody since God saved him." And the man said, "I'll never despair of anyone since God saved me." You see the difference? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Oh, how can it be? Who made us to differ from anybody else? All cut from the same lump. God's sovereign mercy. God's sovereign grace is the only hope of salvation for anybody. Anybody. Now, praise His glorious name. He's been pleased to show mercy. If He didn't, and He doesn't owe it to us, but were it not for the mercy of God, we'd all perish. All of us. Be no hope. Praise His name. He delights to show mercy. And He delights to show it to everyone that needs it. I pray we'll cry out to Him for it. And newsflash, if we do, it's the evidence that He saved us. It's the evidence that He's been merciful to us. You know, in another account, the religious, the scribes and Pharisees, they tried to demean our Lord by saying He eats with publicans and sinners. Aren't you glad He does? We looked at that a little bit last time I was here. I'm so glad He's the friend of sinners. You see, none of us are worthy. The people that found fault with the Lord, they always thought they were worthy. And that the people that the Lord did something for were unworthy. We're all unworthy. Christ alone is worthy. The Lamb, He is worthy. He alone. I pray that we will receive this news of who Christ is, what He's done, who He's done it for. I pray we can receive that news joyfully. Pray God will cause us to come down. Receive Him joyfully. Now, I want to point this out. These people, they knew Zacchaeus was a sinner. The problem is they didn't know themselves to be a sinner. But there was no mistake. It's like in Luke chapter 7, there was a woman that was a sinner. She was a renowned sinner. And our Lord saved her. I think this Simon, a Pharisee, he just was so mad. He just couldn't understand because he thought he was worthy. But know this here. Our Lord having something to do with Zacchaeus does not mean that He was condoning sin. It doesn't mean that at all. No, our Lord doesn't condone sin. I already mentioned, I quoted a couple of verses. God will have nothing to do with sin. He hates all workers of iniquity. Hates the sin, hates the sinner who's in his sin. In order for there to be fellowship with the Lord Jesus and Zacchaeus, something had to happen. Substitution needed to take place. That's why Christ came. To trade places with His people. Zacchaeus was in a tree. Our Lord came here to go to a tree. He must be lifted up. Zacchaeus is just like Barabbas, the man that went free, because the Lord hung in his place. Aside from Christ's substitutionary death on the cross, God will have nothing to do with a sinner. Nothing at all. You know, on the cross, we see our Lord was dying for the sins of His people. We see a man who died in his sin. That's what we all deserve. The thief who died railing on Him, that's what we all deserve. That's what we all are by nature. But then we have a thief who died free from his sin because he had a substitute. All three of those men died on a cross. One had no sin of his own, but the other two did. You see, we need the Lord to die for our sin. He, clearly from that account, we know He didn't die for everybody. He died for one of them. That's the only way. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin, putting our sin away forever as far as the east is from the west. That's the only way God could have anything to do with you or me. Is if He died in our place, if we're in Him, if God chose us in Him, put us in Him. I mentioned what Donnie preached from. I'm crucified with Christ. Must be one with Christ. They said this man's a sinner. But not in Christ he's not. Not in Christ he's not. I love this. Bless my heart so much. I just saw this a few nights ago. I looked up the name Zacchaeus to see what it means. You're going to like this. Two things. Pure and innocent. Well, I thought he was a sinner. Yeah. Not now. Not in Christ. Not in Christ. That worm Jacob. No, Israel, you're a prince with God. That's what we are in Christ. No sin. No sin. I told you Christ traded places with us. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. The sin that we are to make us the righteousness of God in Him. We're righteous. Zacchaeus, in and of himself, oh, he was nothing but a vile sinner. But in Christ, he's righteous, pure, innocent, forever. Oh, and we are too if we're in Christ. God forbid we leave this place trusting in ourselves that we're righteous. Oh, may we look to Christ. Verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he's gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He called him Lord. He climbed into the tree to see Jesus. He saw the Lord. The Lord of glory. Now, what about these words he spoke? Is he defending himself? Well, see, I'm not really that bad. No. No, God worked repentance in him. He stole from people and didn't give it a thought. Now he feels bad about it. You ever feel remorse whereas you didn't before? I do. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It wasn't me becoming good. It's God working in us, both to will and do of His good pleasure. And notice this too. The Lord didn't command Zacchaeus, all right, now if you're going to be saved, you better start giving all this stuff away. Now, the rich young ruler, he wanted something to do, so the Lord said, well, you know the commandments, keep them. He said, I kept them. He said, you lack one thing, sell everything. No, oh, I can't do that. He wanted to do something. The Lord didn't tell Zacchaeus to do this. He did it because he wanted to. You see the difference? There's a difference. He didn't do it in order to be saved. God saved him. And he said, this is just right. This is just right. When God saves us, I love this. He gives us a new want to. Now, how to perform that which is good, I just find not. Like Paul said. But the want to's there. It's there. He gives us a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. He said we're new creatures in Christ. That means something. It's not for our glory, it's for His. It's all for His. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this too. Zacchaeus didn't speak these words to those men that were looking down on him. He spoke these words to the Lord. That's who we've sinned against. That's who we've wronged. The Lord. Now, this giving, all right? He said, I'm going to give to the poor and restore fourfold. It was out of abundant thanksgiving to his Lord. That's it. That's it. He was no longer motivated by the love of money. That's what he was motivated by before. That's what you and I are motivated by until Christ comes to us. The love of money, love of self, love of this world and the things in it. He's now motivated by the love of Christ. He's saved by the love of Christ, and he's constrained by the love of Christ. It means the love of Christ moves us. That's what God's Word says. It's in 2 Corinthians 5. Because Christ made him come down, he now realizes he can part ways with his earthly goods because he has Christ. And Christ is all. All in all. Take the world, but give me the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, his earthly riches were meaningless from this day forward. Absolutely meaningless. He's now poor in spirit. That's what God makes his people to be. We're high and lofty, lifted up in pride and self-righteousness. But when God saves us, when he reveals to us what Christ went through to save a wretch like us, makes us poor in spirit. And he also causes us to know that we're rich. Rich toward God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wealth that can never be told. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Salvation came to him. Here's what that word means right here. Deliverance, preservation, and safety of the soul. I love that. You need to be delivered from your own sin. You need to be preserved until the end. Do you need to be kept by him who said, I've kept all of them until the end? You need safety. You need a hiding place. You need a rock to hide under. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation came to Zacchaeus. The Savior himself came to Zacchaeus, and to never leave him. I told you it was going to be a permanent abiding in his soul. Never leave nor forsake. Now, I like thinking about this too. Perhaps Zacchaeus had a family and the Lord came to his house physically and saved them too. I especially love the accounts of Scripture where that happened. When the Lord saved a man and his household. Don't you like that? You know, those of us that have children, and oh Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. But did you see what the end of verse 9 says? Here we see why the Lord came to him. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. He's a son of it. He's a child of promise. He's a child of promise. An heir of God. A joint heir with Christ. Let me read you this verse real quick. You can turn if you want. It's Galatians 3:28. For time's sake, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I tell you this. If we're in Christ, he's coming to our house. He's coming. Ain't no stopping him. Nothing's going to hinder him. Never has and never will. He's coming. Verse 10, for the Son of Man, back in our text, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, he didn't know he was lost. He didn't know he was blind. He didn't know. Until the Lord came to him and revealed to him, you're lost. You're blind. But salvation's come to your house, Zacchaeus. I've done something for you, Zacchaeus. The Lord, though despised and rejected of men, came to seek and to save, in spite of our wanting nothing to do with him. You remember at the cross, if thou be the Son of God, come down and we'll believe you. He couldn't come down because he came to save. That's why he came. That's why he was there. He was there to save. Now, if the Lord's willing, I want to pick up where we left off and look at verse 10 tonight. If the Lord's willing. But my prayer for us is that Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, might be pleased to come to our house, save us by His grace. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Have a word of prayer. Lord God Almighty, we come once more through your blessed Son. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the message of mercy and grace. Message of thy power. The message of thy will. Lord, we're so thankful that thy will is perfect and that it shall come to pass. You have the power to accomplish it, the power to accomplish grace, Lord, for a multitude that no man can number. Lord, we pray that you would bless this message to our hearts, Lord, that you would plant your seed, cause it to grow forth. I ask that you would allow us to meet again this evening. Lord, we ask that you would bless our fellowship together today. Cause us to do thy will. Cause us to remember thy word. Cause us to grow in grace. Increase our faith. Lord, we ask once more, thy will be done for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin. The hymn of the day in the bulletin.
Oh, what shall